speaker, Mark I from the South Central Indiana area.
I'm Mark, I'm an addict.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. A couple of the guys on the committee called me, it's probably been 3 or 4 months ago, and asked me to speak on this topic, which, you know, I'm always fascinated by the history and the symbolism of NA. And of course, then I forgot about it until we were on our way here, and Terry said, aren't you speaking at this convention? I said, yeah, I think so. So what I wanted to go over was, for those of you who are not familiar with the, a lot of us call it the Jimmy K symbol. It was the one that has, and I, you know, wish I had pictures, but it's, you know, they got the different colored circles with the NAs in the middle, and then the little pointed directional things on the each side. And, you know, that was originally drawn as kind of like the directions were to symbolize the universality of the program, you know, that we are worldwide, and that, you know, we're all inclusive. And he included colors in it. And if you go online, you can find that. You can still see pictures of that original logo. They've got it in the archives at World. When they have the World Convention, they set that out, and it's just kind of cool to look through those old things. They've got the they've got a framed copy of that first signed letter from the first meeting in 1953. They've got it where I think there's probably 17 signatures on there, and it's just really cool to think back about those days and how much they struggled and how NA started, and then it kind of stopped, and then it started again. And I just love going to history meetings, and when they do workshops on the history of NA, it's just fascinating to me. But that symbol has a yellow circle, which stands for strength and courage, and what the top it says the group shares. And this is kind of like what the group represents, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about was, you know, the strength and courage. And, you know, when I got to NA, I'm sure I was just like most of you. I wanted some relief. You know, I didn't think I had a drug problem. I thought that I had a back problem because there were so many people on my back. Thank you. Is that better? Okay. You know, my family was on my back, and my boss was on my back, you know, I can remember very distinctly having dropped off some drugs at this guy's house. 6-8 hours later, I'm going back to collect the money, and I'm pulling up, and I'm so miserable. I've been up for days. I ache. I'm emotionally bankrupt and drained, and I'm saying, you know what? I'm not going to stay here and do any of this stuff. I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm going home and going to bed. I got to get my act together. I walked in that door completely resolved to not use. He said, "Do you want some?" And I said, "Yes." There was no hesitation. There was no second thought. Yes, I want some. You know, it was something obviously that I could not do on my own. You know, the group, I got to NA meetings, and in my area, when I got clean, there was 2 meetings a week and about 5 guys that went to those two meetings regularly. And man, did I cling on to these guys. You know, that was all I had. You know, NA was real new. We didn't know what we were doing. We sat around and talked about war stories, and we talked about using because we didn't know the spiritual principles, and we didn't understand the meaning of it. We just knew that if we go here and we talk to these people and we talk about our problems, we don't have to use. So the group provided me with the strength and the courage that I did not have on my own, and that couldn't have been more clear to me. The green circle represents friendship. And, you know, I can't say that all the people that I used with are like worthless. You know, there were some good people that had the same problems I had. And I got to NA, and I can remember so distinctly sitting down after meetings until 2 or 3 in the morning and talking and feeling inside just, I don't know the words to describe it. I'm sure most of you have felt that. If you haven't, keep coming back and find people you can talk to until you do. It's just that wonderful spiritual feeling inside that you've connected with another human being. I didn't know that was possible. I've shared this many times in meetings that when I was a kid, they had commercials on TV for the Red Cross and the Peace Corps. For those of you who are old enough to remember those commercials, you know, I remember seeing those, and I remember sitting there as a kid thinking, who in the world is going to sign up to get $150 a month to go to a foreign country where they don't have running water and electricity and work for somebody else to help them? I thought, how insane would that be? You know, and I came here, and through the friendships that I was afforded in Narcotics Anonymous, understood the rewards of giving to other people and being a friend to somebody else. It's just, it was just overwhelming to me. You know, those when you start having those feelings, and you got, you know, those things are just so awesome. The blue circle represents peace and serenity, and I also remember very clearly that first moment. When I had a sense of peace, that moment of clarity or the peace and serenity that comes over us sometimes, that happened to me. It lasted for probably a minute, maybe 2 minutes, and then I was mad because it was gone. I just wanted, you know, being an addict, I wanted more. If this is going to make me feel good, I want to make me feel good all the time. You know, I couldn't accept life on life's terms quite yet. But, after sharing that at a few meetings, I started to become grateful that I had it at all, because that 2 minutes was 2 minutes more than I'd had in a long time. So I learned that one. The red circle stands for love. And, you know, I don't think I can explain love, you know. But to me, I know that the Narcotics Anonymous message is that an addict, any addict, can stay clean. But to me, it all comes down to love. I think the bottom line is there's two emotions. There's love and there's fear. And if we live in love, you know, the good things happen to us. The good things happen for us. And we create it in ourselves and others when we can stay out of the fear. And the only way to do that is to stay in the love. And you know, I get that in Narcotics Anonymous. In this circle, there's some yellow, or the in the A, in the NA, on that Jimmy K symbol, there's a little dot. And I actually sell, I'm a vendor, so I sell some buttons. And people, sometimes people look at it, so what's that little dot? And that was put in there to represent God. You know, God is also in our symbol that we use on our book and in our literature, the three-dimensional circle and the diamond. You know, one of the sides, you look at the three-dimensional part, and it's in your basic text right in the front. So if you haven't read that part that describes the symbol, do that. It's really cool. But one of the sides of that pyramid in the center there is represents God. And, you know, I know that's a real controversial topic, and I know that people, we're a spiritual, not religious program. And we know that. You know, I don't know if the outside world is going to see it that way. And I sponsored a guy who was an atheist, and he just never grasped it. You know, he's passed away from this disease, and because he just couldn't grasp that one concept. And it was, you know, I tried and tried so hard to just, you know, to make it as simple as possible. You know, whatever works for you. I don't care what it is. You know, religion to me means that this is God, and we're going to tell you what God is and does, and that's wonderful. I don't have any problem with religion. But if someone does, it can be such a barrier to them getting a hold of what we have to offer. And, you know, I hope that people are able to find, you know, whatever God of their own understanding that they can. And the other sides of that pyramid are the service. And, you know, I can, just those first area service meetings, I had 6 months clean, and, you know, like I said, there was five guys, and they said, well, we want you to be our GSRA. And I said, well, what the heck is that? So, you know, they take me to this meeting, and the first meeting, there's a guy there, and his roommate, he was the functions chair, and his roommate, after the dance on Saturday, had taken off with $1,000 on Sunday and was gone. And they said, okay, we need to vote. Are we going to, is he going to pay this back? Did we're going to send it back to your groups to vote on whether he's going to pay this back. And on the way back, I'm talking to my sponsor, who's the GSR, and I said, we're going to make this poor guy pay back $1,000 because his roommate stole the money. And he says, you know, there's some accountability and responsibility in service work. You know, I was very fortunate to have a sponsor who was very active and very vocal. And, you know, he said, you know, there is such thing as accountability, and we're learning how to be responsible. And, you know, service work is an important commitment. It's not just, hey, I want to take this on to go have some fun. Of course, it's extremely rewarding, but it's also a commitment and a responsibility. And it's just wonderful when people take it seriously. You know, we have arguments sometimes in our area, and people say, I don't like that. I don't like the fighting, and I don't like this, I don't like that. And I say to them, you know, it's okay if we disagree. And it's okay if we have different opinions on what happens. What matters to me is that those people are passionate about Narcotics Anonymous. They care. You know, they care. Maybe the way they care and the way they show it is different than the way I do. But I'm damn glad they're there, because if it was just me and my crazy ideas, you know, it just wouldn't work. You know, the fact that people step up and they accept these positions of responsibility is just real important. God's self, okay, one of the other sides of the pyramid is self. You know, I look at things a little differently. I don't look at self-centeredness and selfishness as quite the same thing. When I got here, yes, I was self-centered, because everything was, I was always concerned about how it was going to affect me and not how it was going to affect you. You know, but to me, being selfish, as in looking out for myself, and I don't know if there's a better word for that, there probably is, but I have to take care of myself. And that's one of the things we all learn when we first get here, is if you don't take care of yourself, none of the other stuff is going to get taken care of anyway. You know, so that's a big difference than being self-centered. And the other side of that pyramid is society, which is another whole matter, isn't it? You know, becoming a part of society again, and even enjoying it, and, you know, I can be of service to more than just Narcotics Anonymous. There are other ways to serve. And I have gone out and picked projects or charities and tried to volunteer or contribute. And, you know, those are all wonderful things too. And I think one of the best things we can do, and especially is when we get to our amends, is we stop doing the things we did that damaged society, you know, and then we become a part of it. You know, it's a lot easier to feel a part of something when you're not trying to screw up everybody else's day. And, you know, I find myself today even being annoyed when I see things that, you know, people taking money that isn't theirs, or, you know, tearing up property. You know, when I'm out in public, or I'm at a convention or a meeting or someplace, and I've been at a lot of functions where kids have run wild and destroyed things, and, you know, the function or the committee or somebody has to pay that. And, you know, I find myself feeling sad inside that you know, but I'm also glad that person is here, because if they stick around long enough, you know, they'll learn how to parent, they'll learn how to act, and it's just awesome. You know, there was as it says in our book, our program came from Alcoholics Anonymous. That's where we adopted our stuff from. And Bill Wilson, who was a founder of AA, stated in an article in the 40s, He talked about the people. There was controversy with people coming in, newcomers coming in, and they weren't talking right, and they weren't using the right words, and they weren't saying the right things, and they weren't acting right in meetings. And his comment was, you know, those people, if they stick around, they're going to get it, and they're going to come around. He said the people who are causing the damage are the old-timers who think that it's their responsibility to set everybody straight, you know. He said, those are the ones that are causing problems when you got to interrupt a meeting to shut somebody up and straighten them out or whatever. You know, they're going to get it if we give them a chance. It, sometimes that's hard to remember, but we are. And the circle on the on our symbol represents the universal program. And, you know, it really is. If you look at the world site and you look at the statistics, and we're in so many different languages and they're translating stuff every day, and we're in so many countries. And if you read the NAWA magazine, if you don't get that, sign up for that. It's, you know, it's free, I think, still. And you can sign up on NA.org. And they had an article in there that I'll never forget. It was about a country in Africa, and I don't remember which one. And a guy was writing, and he had about 3 years clean. And he was talking about the people in the meeting. There was several, 20, 30 people, but he said half of them or more were children who were like 10 or 12 years old. And I thought, I read that again because I thought, no, I must have been mistaken. I didn't read that correctly. And that's what it said, children, 10, 12 years old. And this was the majority of the people in a meeting. And, you know, what must be going on over there and how desperately they need some kind of program to help these people. And it's just awesome the work that, you know, the service structure has done to get these books out and the translations out. And it truly is becoming a worldwide fellowship. And it's just amazing that a group of addicts could come up with this stuff in the first place. You know, to think about where we started, all of us, and those guys weren't any better off than us when they got here. To even come up with these ideas and concepts is just pretty amazing. And to put it together and everybody learn to get along and love each other is just so awesome. You know, the point of the pyramid is freedom. And that's why, you know, sometimes conventions have the slogan is the point is freedom. And it means freedom from active addiction. You know, it doesn't mean we're free to do whatever we darn well please. It means we're free. We're free from active addiction. And that's the only promise that Narcotics Anonymous makes. And it states quite clearly that if we thoroughly work this program, it will happen for us. It has never failed for anyone who has thoroughly worked this program. And I've even seen it work for people who hardly ever work the program. I've seen people stay clean. I have a friend in our area who had like 17 years clean before he ever started working steps. And the amazing part is that he now has like 22 or 23 years clean, and there is a real transformation. There's a real change. You know, you would think, okay, you've been clean 17 years, now you're going to work steps, so what? No, it makes a difference. I don't care if you haven't started yet, if you don't think it's going to work for you and you don't think it's going to change anything, fine. Do it anyway. You know, do it because it's worked for thousands of other people. Might as well find out if it'll work for you. And he's had an amazing transformation. He's not the same person, and it's really awesome to see that. Goodwill. The base of the pyramid is goodwill. And, you know, I should have looked that word up. Because, I mean, we all think, I'm assuming that it just means having a positive outlook and, you know, presenting that to the world. Not going out with the intention of causing harm, you know, but to go out looking for something positive to do and becoming something positive yourself. And, you know, I struggle with that. I mean, it's, you know, every time I go to a convention, and we go to a lot of them, it's like, oh, man, I got to drive. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And I get there, and just immediately, I pretty much just have a smile on my face from the beginning to the end, because What could be easier? You know, this is the my first sponsor used to say, you know, the easiest hour of my day to stay clean is when I'm in a meeting. I'm in a whole room full of people who are trying to do the same thing. That's the easiest time to do it. It's that other 23 hours when it's a struggle. And to be able to come to something like this and to experience thousands of people, I'm always just like this silly grin pasted on my face because it's so cool to be around thousands of people who are also trying to recover. And I can remember even my very first convention, and that's always, you know, quite an experience for most of us. It was for me. And the lady who was speaking that night was sharing about, you know, the pain and anguish and all of the things that she had experienced growing up. She said, all I can remember was pain and blood and blood and pain. And so she said she went to talk to her brother about it to, you know, try to resolve these things. And she sat down with him and said, all these terrible things happened. And he said, where did you grow up? You know, he says, I remember you sitting on Dad's lap and laughing and having a good time. And he remembered an entirely different process. You know, and I think that's something I always try to keep in mind, is that it is how I see it determines how it really is. You know, if all I can see is the negative stuff around me, I can find negative stuff. It's real easy. You know, I can go anywhere and I can be at home by myself and find negative stuff if that's what I'm looking for. I can go to a meeting and I can hear all of the things that you hear from the people who don't go to meetings anymore. Well, those people, they talked about me. Well, those people said this. Well, those people, they gossip and they're full of crap. And sure they are. And they're all trying to stay clean. And they're not near as much full of crap as the people in the crack house, okay? I never left a bar because those people talked about me. They gossiped. You know, those people said I shouldn't date so-and-so. You know, I never left any of those places because of that. So, you know, I try to stay and I try to remember my perspective is what counts in my world. And, you know, I don't really know what else to share about the symbol. I wish I had looked up more of the history. And I'm hoping that, is it Jimmy? Yeah. I'm hoping that Jimmy has some of that too, because I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to share. Thank you.
Our second speaker is Jimmy S. from the Montgomery area.
Is it right? Okay. Hi, I'm an addict named Jimmy. One of the advantages of being around for a while and having been involved and all, and knowing a lot of people with the convention and in service and all, is that people recognize you and know you. And I was walking by the program desk about 20 minutes ago or so. The one of the committee members came out and grabbed me and said, "Our speaker for the meeting on the symbol is not going to be able to make it." So. And they asked me to come up, and of course, you know, because there's little that I'm asked to do in Narcotics Anonymous that I say no to, because this program saved my life, absolutely. And the gratitude I have for this program in saving my life and to be for being here to save my life is immeasurable, and the only way I know of to express that gratitude is by giving it back and being involved in service and doing whatever may need to be done. And all I need to do is show up and y'all find things for me to do. And that's been going on for a number of years, ever since I walked into rooms and they said get a position making coffee, and I did that. And a few months later, I came back in the room during the business meeting from emptying out the coffee pot, and everybody started applauding. And I found out I was now the GSR. And I've kept showing up, and I've kept finding things to do. And I just want to mention a little bit about that home group I had when I first got here. When I started making coffee there. And that was a little bit over 19 years ago. We had the secretary, we had the treasurer, we had the GSR alternate, and then I was making coffee. All five of those people are clean today, have been clean continuously, have been active members and actively involved in service. There's only two of us that still live in the area. All of us are there, and all of us have been clean. This program works. They used to tell us, and I used to hear being told then that, you got to go other places because there's no long-term recovery in NA. Well, we knew then all we need to do is keep coming back. And we've done that, and there is recovery here. And there's long-term recovery here. I know because, I'm rarely at a meeting where there's not people with more clean time than me. And our symbol, and I was throwing this in, the first thing I did when I was asked, please, I went up and borrowed a basic text from the service center. And it has a little blurb in there in the preface about our symbol, simplicity is the key to our symbol. It imitates the simplicity of our fellowship. All sorts of occult and esoteric connotations can be found in its simple outlines, but foremost in the minds of the fellowship are easily understood meanings and relationships. The outer circle denotes a universal and total program that has room within it for all manifestations of the recovering person. The square, whose lines are defined, is easily seen and understood, but there are other unseen parts of the symbol. The square base denotes goodwill, the ground of both the fellowship and the members of our society. Goodwill is best exemplified in service. Proper service is doing the right thing for the right reason. Well, a little editorial. I don't care what your reason is for doing the service or doing the right thing. Just do the right thing. The reasons will come later. You keep doing the right thing, you'll eventually get to doing it for the right reasons. But first thing, do the right thing. Don't, When goodwill supports and motivates both the individual and the fellowship, we are fully and wholly free. Probably the last to be lost to freedom will be the stigma of being an addict. It's the four pyramid sides that rise from the base in a three-dimensional figure that represent self, society, service, and God. All rise to the point of freedom. All parts are closely related to the needs and the aims of the addict who is seeking recovery, and to the purpose of the fellowship, which is to make recovery available to all. The greater the base, as we grow in unity, in numbers, and in fellowship, the broader the sides of the pyramid, and the higher the point of freedom. And that, to me, is that base is so important to me, because there's room in this fellowship for all addicts, no matter where you're from, what your background is, race, creed, color, sexual preference, religion, lack of religion, any of that stuff. There's room for everybody here, and we look around. And I know when I go to conventions, and we're out around, and people from outside the fellowship are coming around, and they're looking around and saying, what in the world is going on here? We got, the bikers, hugging the guys from the hood, hugging the flaming queen from, to the teenagers, to the old folks, it's like we're all one here, And we, you know, we've got that common disease of addiction, and we have our primary purpose here, you know, and none of that other stuff matters, you know. And, you know, and to broaden that base, the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. And, you know, one of the things I think better with that is it reminds me somewhat of our mission statement for Narcotics Anonymous in the world. And part of that is, you know, that one day every addict in the world will have the chance to experience our message in his or her own language and culture and find the opportunity for a new way of life. That one day Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. And in all our service efforts, we rely upon the guidance of a loving higher power that always has to come in. You know, because I think so much, you know, and one of the things that's been going through with me recently, I've had an anniversary recently, you know, I've been around for a while, you know, and one of my passions in this program and in my service work is seeing the message carried and seeing the program develop in parts of the world where it is not now, or parts of this country where it's not now, whether that's, you know, rural, you know, Iowa. And I've been in a meeting in Iowa where there's in a town of like 2,000 people, you know, or whether it's, you know, in Africa, in Nepal, you know, Bolivia, you know, all these places, you know, where it's growing. But one of the things, reasons that is such a passion for me is I think back to when I was growing up, and I've been around a little while, you know, and I think back, you know, when I was first starting and first starting out using and all, and you know, for me, everything seemed fine. But I remember, you know, some guys, and you know, and I could list a bunch of names, but there's one guy in particular I remember a lot. It was about 1972 or 73. And he was talking to me, and I didn't understand what he was talking about. It was a guy I grew up with, you know, from kindergarten, talking to me about how he kept using, and he was hating it, and he couldn't stop. He was using against his will. He didn't know what to do, you know, and he was just hating using, but he just kept using and using. And I didn't understand it at the time at all. Well, within a year, that guy was dead. And I think about him now, you know, and I think that, you know, Narcotics Anonymous did not exist in this area, in this region in 1972, 1973, you know. And I think about him and so many others that there's not a doubt in my mind he was ready for this message. You know, if somebody could have gotten to him and he could have heard this message, you know, that he could have saved his life. You know, and, you know, but he never had that opportunity. You know, the base at that time was not large enough for all of us, you know. So when I hear now and we are able to do work that's carrying a message to parts of the world where it is not, Narcotics Anonymous is not available, I think of him and other people, you know, and I think of the lives that we are saving doing that. You know, we have, you know, there are meetings going on now, you know, in Soweto, you know, which is that meeting Mark had mentioned, you know, where they had half the meeting was kids like 10 years old or so, because they're all huffing gasoline is what's going on there, you know. And there's another story there at a Soweto. It's a whole lot more. That's a kid who's about 15, 16, who has taken the lead and has been one of the major people translating our literature into the Zulu language. And we have literature now in Zulu and a few other African languages. And those are the people that we need. And to be able to carry the message, to be able to help in some way is just so important. I know the money I put in the basket, some of that money finds its way to translate that our literature into those languages. It finds its way to carry the message to countries where it doesn't exist, you know, or whether it's just growing. And that, to me, is, you know, broadening that base to such a way that, you know, I get very emotional thinking about it, because, you know, I think back personally, you know, in my personal life, to the people who I knew that needed, you know, that didn't make it, you know, and the people that I'm here, you know, and why I do what I do in this fellowship. You know, it's to remember them, because the reality is that, you know, those people help me stay clean today. You know, those memories help me stay clean, because I know what's possible, and I know what waits for me if I don't stay here, if I don't stay clean, if I don't stay an active member. You know, and that to me is the key. And that means attending meetings regularly, but it means being involved. It means holding a service position, and for me, the most important service position I can hold is in a group. Whether it's, you know, whatever it may be, GSR, treasurer, secretary, something that, because that's the position that will get me to a meeting. That's the position and the service that where the message is carried, you know, right there. That's where the rubber hits the road. And I've had service positions, like I said, I keep showing up, y'all keep finding me something to do, you know, and all those other service positions I've had are important, you know, and I get, you know, some of them have had me flying around to different parts of the country and all doing things, and those are all important, and I love those things, and I love, you know, being exposed to Narcotics Anonymous around the, you know, around the country, and from other parts of the world, but nothing is more important than getting to my home group and seeing that my home group is meeting, you know. And nothing is more important for my personal recovery, because, you know, I can go to all the area regional service committee meetings or anything else and, you know, not get a bit of recovery if I'm not going to a recovery meeting. You know, it's one of the things that happened with, at the World Service Conference is, and one of the reasons why it goes so much smoother now than it used to is because we now make efforts there to have time for recovery meetings, to have time for recovery-oriented activities, as opposed to a bunch of addicts sitting in a room for a week arguing over shit. I mean, you can imagine how crazy that can get, you know. If we don't take the time to recover, you know, and to focus on our recovery, you know. And the same thing can happen at our areas and regional meetings. If we keep that focus there, you know, they can go a lot smoother, you know. Yeah, it's some of that, give me some of that goodwill and service that's talked about into symbol as well. I'm grateful to be here. You know, I can be here. This program has given me so much. This past week, my aunt had died on Monday. And her funeral was yesterday. And one of the biggest miracles, of course, is that I was there. I could show up, you know, because there's lots of stuff that I never showed up for, you know. I mean, I can remember my, I can remember coming home from my father's funeral. And, you know, he was buried in Tidewater, Virginia. And we're going home to D.C. And I was driving. The only thing I could think of coming home from that funeral is I got to get home in time to cop. Nothing else mattered, you know. And it was so bad that we stopped for gas in this little town called Tappahannock. My sister-in-law grabbed the keys out of the ignition and would not give them back until I got out from behind the driver's seat, because I was going 80, 90 miles an hour, you know, coming up these two-lane roads, you know, trying to get home in time to cop. That's the only thing that mattered to me, you know. You know, I didn't care about any of that other stuff, you know. You know, Thursday, yesterday, we were back there in Gloucester, and, you know, and I was there on time, you know, and I was able to, you know, be a pallbearer. And more than that, I was able to be there for my uncle and my cousins and all, you know, and be a member of the family, you know. To feel, you know, the pain and the loss, you know, and to sit there and let the preacher go on and preach what he was going to be preaching without sitting inside my head, you know, wishing he would shut up because I didn't particularly agree with what he might have been saying, you know, I mean, so I can not only do the right thing, you know, but sometimes my thoughts are even agree with that, you know. You know, and that, you know, to be able to show up today, you know, is such, because, you know, I mean, I didn't show up before I got here. That, and I stayed, you know, I used, everything was about using. It's all that mattered. You know, and the result of that was that I felt like crap. You know, I've done it again, you know, I haven't shown up again, I wasn't there again, you know, whatever it was. And so I just had to use more to kill those feelings, and it just got worse and worse, you know, just that never-ending cycle, you know. And today, you know, I don't have to live like that. You know, that's a miracle of this program. I can be a participant. I can be a member of the family. You know, and there's not, you know, my family is not a whole lot of this disease is not really there. You know, I don't know. I know. A lot of us, you know, have families that have the disease throughout. You know, I didn't have that advantage growing up. You know, I had to learn it on my own. You know, I don't know why, you know, but, you know, I mean, from my earliest memories, you know, as soon as I heard there was something that could, you know, that you get high on, you know, I wanted it. You know, I mean, you know, when I was 5, 6 years old, I was stealing baseball cards out of the store. And candy, you know, as soon as we could find some stogies out of an ashtray and a pack of matches, we were out running around the corner to smoke them, you know. I mean, I was anyway. My brother and sister weren't, you know, but I was, and some of the other kids from the neighborhood were, you know, like the guy I talked about earlier, you know. So, but the point is that, you know, I'm pretty much the only one in my family. I mean, there may be one of my cousins. You know, that maybe, I'm not sure. But I'm pretty much the only addict in my family. You know, so, you know, it's harder in some ways in that respect, you know. You know, my cousin married one, but, you know, they're divorced now, but, you know. But actually, one of the things I got to do yesterday was talk to my cousin's son, who now is, they got married when I had about, probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months clean. You know, it was probably the first event I went to where there was, you know, there was alcohol after I got clean, not counting dead shows. You know, but I was able to talk to her older son yesterday. I kind of took him aside, you know, because his father is, you know, pretty much at the point where hopefully he's going to be ready to hear this message. I was able to give him, said, here, give this to your father. Give my phone number to your father. You know, tell him, you know, that I've got 19 years, you know, I had to say clean and sober so he would understand, because, you know, I want him to understand. And tell him to call me if he wants to. You know, and I talked to him, you know, the boy for a little while, and maybe, you know, I can send him to some places, him and his brother to some places where they can, you know, they can get some help as well, you know. And, you know, I couldn't be there like that for anybody before I got here. It was not, you know, it was forget it, you know. I didn't feel anything before I got here. You know, I couldn't help somebody else when I couldn't feel anything myself, you know. But that, to me, is one of the gifts of this program. It's so, you know, talk about that freedom and rising to the point of freedom, and it's not, it's freedom from active addiction. That's number one. Absolutely, you know, but the freedom from active addiction and the recovery process that we go through working this program brings us so much more freedom. So much more freedom to become who we really are supposed to be. And who I've really, you know, who that core of me really has been all along, but has been buried so deep. You know, every time I did something that I said I would never do, you know, I buried that real reality of who I was and my real core values. I buried that a little bit deeper, you know. And, you know, over the 20 years I used, that got buried, you know, pretty far down, you know. And it's taken a long time for it to come back and reemerge. Yeah, but that's what this process of recovery and working the steps does, is it allows me and the real me and my real values to come out, you know, and for me to be who I was always intended to be, you know. And that's a miracle. And just one thing, I guess really the real core of the recovery for me, and then I'm going to be done, is one thing that I always like to say is what this program has done for me and what it hasn't done for me. This program did not promise to open up the gates of heaven to let me in. You know, and I've had a lot of, you know, life has gone on, you know, it's been ups and downs, you know. What this program has done, did promise, and what it has done, is it promised to open up the gates of hell and it let me out. And I'm staying here. I'm not willing to go back. It's working what I've been doing, so I'm going to keep doing it. Thanks for letting me share it.